Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hello, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast. And today's topic is about getting unstuck and making choices in life that will make us happier. To explore this topic, I've asked Dr. Karen Sherman to join me. As usual, before we meet Dr. Sherman, let me provide you with her background. Dr. Karen Sherman is a New York State licensed psychologist who's been in practice for over 20 years on Long Island. In addition to her private practice, Dr. Sherman has been taking her skills to groups and organizations with her Art of Choice workshops and seminars. In Art of Choice workshops and lectures, Dr. Sherman helps people examine how they make choices, what motivates their choices, and whether those motivating factors are really what the people themselves want. She also examines the conditions under which people sometimes accidentally give up their ability or right to choose. Dr. Sherman is also an expert in relationship counseling and an author on the topic. Her book, Marriage Magic, Find It, Keep It, Make It Last, co-authored with communications expert Dale Klein, is a compendium of wisdom about making marriages better. Today, I'm going to focus on her new book called Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life. Let me read you a recent review of the book for Division 42 of the American Psychological Association, which is the division of psychologists in independent practice, by Marilyn Camacho of Loyola College in Maryland. And I quote, "In the book Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life, psychologist Dr. Karen H. Sherman calls upon her readers to empower themselves and confront self-defeating behaviors by providing a step-by-step guide towards identifying, challenging, and changing the emotions and maladaptive behavior patterns that may inhibit individuals from creating the lives that they wish to live. As Dr. Sherman states on her own website, the book offers you the tools to stop living a life that is burdened by old, repetitive feelings and patterns that keep you stuck and unhappy." And now, let's meet Dr. Karen Sherman. Karen, welcome to The Shrink Is In.
Hi, Howie. It's nice to be here with you.
I want to thank you for being a guest on my show, The Shrink Is In. And as I said in my intro, we're going to talk about your book, Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life. And the first question I always have is, to me, writing a book is an arduous, difficult task. And I want to know, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you're right. It is a very difficult task. And I felt the need to do it because it's a book that's really driven mostly by a personal journey that I took. As of course you know, I'm a psychologist. Mm-hmm. But I went through a very, very difficult period in my life due to a major letdown from an experience with my mother. Mm-hmm. I had come from a very, very dysfunctional home, and I never really had my mother, so to speak. There was every type of abuse in my home, and I never really felt like I had my mother, so to speak. She was absent, even though she was physically there, she was absent. She wasn't really physically there. She worked at a time in history where mothers didn't work, but she was never really emotionally present. Mm-hmm. And throughout my life, my mother was not even really healthy. And lo and behold, my father passes away. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is going to sound awful to a lot of people, but I was really very relieved that he had passed away. He was very toxic. As a matter of fact, at the point of his passing, I had to cut off relationships with both my parents. I had not been speaking with them. So I was actually relieved that he had passed. And I was very happy that I now was finally going to have a relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. And for a period, we really enjoyed this typical mother-daughter relationship that I had not had my entire life. And when that started to take hold, so to speak, I went to visit her. And it became very apparent that there really was no mother there. So this dream that I had had my entire life, because we're now talking about the fact that I'm a grown woman with a career, with two children of my own, is now totally taken away from me. And it throws me into this unbelievable tailspin, this horrible, horrible depression. And just really, I can't even tell you the magnitude of it. Let me suffice it to say that I was in so much pain that I didn't really know if I could continue at one point. Mm-hmm. And so I had a choice to make. And that choice was whether I wanted to continue to live or not. And obviously I chose that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that I had to face all of the pain of my life, which is not an easy thing to do. And so I went through the process of dealing with all of the pain of my childhood and the major letdown that I was having. And I said, you know, I now have a wonderful life, a very different kind of life than I've ever had. I have to let people know that they don't have to be a prisoner to their past, mm-hmm. that they can actually have a life of choice, and that there's a way to get through it. Now, this may sound funny coming from a psychologist, but in my opinion, many times people go to therapy and they go to what's traditionally talk therapy, mm-hmm. where you talk about your problems and you gain insight into your problems. But yet, when they get into certain situations, they still get triggered. They still react. Well, how could that be? I'm going for therapy. Mm-hmm. Why am I still reacting? And it is my belief that that's because the energy of the old memories are still within your body. And in these present-day situations, they're getting triggered. And so what's needed is techniques other than just talking. And so the exercises that are in the book allow people to really release this old energy and truly heal the old wounds. How's that for a long answer?
Well, it's a good answer. Karen, you call the book The Art of Choice. Mm-hmm. Why is it an art rather than maybe a science?
Well, because science is very precise. It's exact. And I can't tell people exactly what to do. I see this rather as an art, as a process. I can give them a basic concept of how to go about this, but each person is different, and so everybody's process is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. You know, in your book, you say people might live on autopilot, and we mm-hmm. see that all the time, but people are stuck in the same spot. You know, people come into my office and they're unhappy about the same situation or looking at the same problem over and over and over again, and they can't get past injustices or mistakes that they might have made, and believe that these mistakes are like, you know, fixed in stone and forever affecting their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you address that? Is that what you call the autopilot?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first of all, I think many people look outside themselves and they look for, you know, why did he say this? Why did she do this situation? And unfortunately, we can't change anything outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we can change is our own reactions to situations. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make a lot of people unhappy because it's so much easier to hope that somebody else is going to change. The second thing is, especially when I talk about autopilot, is that as children, we want our parents to love us. Everybody, every child wants that. And so we will figure out as children, we're very clever, whatever it is that we have to do to make mommy and daddy happy. So we may end up being put into roles that are really not appropriate. For instance, if we have very needy parents, we're going to step into the role of being their caretaker. Now, as a child, that's not really appropriate, mm-hmm. but we're going to do it,
right.
And it's going to make mommy and daddy happy. Well, that's what I call a survival tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if it worked in childhood, you're going to keep doing it. And so we'd continue to do that style of living, and we don't stop and even think about it later in life, And we do those patterns, and now we're on autopilot. And so now all of a sudden you find that you still are the caretaker for everybody, and maybe you're now constantly getting involved with somebody who's an addict or who's always needy, because that's the role you know how to play. And you're not thinking about it. You're doing it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it because it's your comfort zone. It's what you know how to do. I'll give you another example. If when you were a kid, if you were unhappy or something, let's say that your parents said, oh, here's a cookie, feel better. You know, it'll make you feel better. Let's not cry anymore. And so that's what you did. Well, now when something stresses you out, you run to eat some cookies or some pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're not thinking. You know, it's mindless. That's why the book is really Mindfulness and the Art of Choice. You're not thinking. You're on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not serving you, but you do it because that's what you're doing, because you've always done it.
Right. You know, my audience who listens to me on a regular basis knows that I'm a basic core cognitive behavioral therapist. And what you're referring to is something that we address all the time in therapy, is that, you know, people get stuck in a mode or have a kind of technique of resolving problems. And they've done it all their lives, and they assume that that's all they can do.
Right.
And so when you're in talk therapy, you know, you talk to patients and you say, well, all right, you've done it this way all the time. Let's replace that with something else. And we try to give them, you know, new, more productive, healthy behaviors that work better for them. But, you know,
right.
You see a lot of resistance to make these changes.
Sure. Because, again, it takes them out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they know that what you're offering is really going to work for them? They've been doing it for years and years the other way. And even though it may not be getting them what they want, at least they know how to do that.
Right.
I tell
all my patients that all human behavior is designed to protect the integrity of the individual. You know, you could be doing something horrible and terrible or obnoxious mm-hmm. and arrogant, but still I look at that as, well, that's somehow protecting the individual from something that is threatening to them. You know, maybe it's keeping everybody away. Maybe it's preventing people from getting close to them. You know, being nasty is a way of actually being safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think that you and I philosophically mm-hmm. agree on why we act the way we do. Probably we disagree on how we might go about healing some of the things from the past. You know, I think from a cognitive behavioral perspective, you're going to be dealing, and quite successfully, I might say. I mean, I'm not saying that that doesn't have its place,
mm-hmm.
with issues and not necessarily getting to some of the energy that I'm talking about at a physical level. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't work. I'm just talking about a different approach to it.
Well, what kind of techniques might you use that would be different than a cognitive behavioral therapist?
Well, a lot of the things that I use, and I don't know, Howie, I mean, maybe you do use some of this, but a lot of the things that I use, I tell people that the first thing I want them to do is to pay attention to their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that people, especially in our society, are cut off at the neck. We pay so much attention to our thought processes, and our thought processes are important. I don't want to deny those, but I think that we are cut off from our bodies, that we're not aware that our bodies are our barometers, that anytime we're feeling something emotionally, we're going to feel it in our bodies. We're going to feel tense,
mm-hmm.
we're going to feel tight, something like that. So when our bodies feel that way, it's a way to say, hey, wait a minute, what emotion am I experiencing? What doesn't, you know, feel right to me? What's going on? Anyway, so the two techniques that I like to use a lot are visualization and free association writing. The visualization, which has been shown to work as well as if it was really happening, is a technique for actually changing the neural connections, the connections in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a way of rewriting history so that when you bring up the pain from the past,
mm-hmm.
when you bring up the old situations, then what you do is you visualize a new situation. You go back to the original situation. You create a new situation. And that, while you're actually in this energized state, will create a new connection. And by doing this over and over again, that old wound is getting healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm doing this very quickly, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The details
are right
in the book. But over time, the new connection is formed. The one that is really not serving you will wither and go away,
mm-hmm.
and you won't be reactive anymore. It will be there as a fact, but it won't be energized anymore. It won't set you off anymore.
Yeah, we actually use a kind of cognitive restructuring approach,
okay,
which is kind of similar,
okay,
in terms of, you know, kind of putting yourself in the same position and coming up with alternative approaches and reworking them and practicing them and kind of stamping them into the system, so to speak.
Yes, and I think the only difference is that I'm actually recalling, having them recall the incident back from childhood and having it come up in the body.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the free association writing is writing, again, more from the body point of view, as fast as they possibly can, bypassing the cognitive, not having it come from the thought process, again, for the purpose of releasing the energy, so that way they're purging the emotional energy. The main focus is to get a chance to let out all the repressed emotions that have been held in really from childhood.
I just want to remind the audience that I'm talking to Dr. Karen Sherman. This is Dr. Howard Gurr for The Shrink Is In, and we're talking about her new book called Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life.
You know, I wanted to get to another piece because, you know, the concept of mindfulness is very, you know, up and coming, so to speak, in the psychological world. There's a lot of research coming out about mindfulness. I have students who are talking about it, interns who are talking about it. But you make a distinction between mindfulness and being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that?
Sure. Aware is like, oh, okay, you notice something. I use mindfulness because I want it to be an active process.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do something about it. You've got to take action on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that let's use the example that I was referring to a few moments ago. Oh, I'm aware that my body is tight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now do something about it. What do you do with that awareness? Then you work it. And where is that feeling sitting in your body? What does it remind you of? You know, are you feeling angry? Are you feeling sad? What does it take you back to? So it's an active process for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of your practice, you're on the island?
Yes, I'm on the island. And then once a week I go into Queens.
Okay. And are you seeing any changes recently in regard to your practice and, you know, the state of the world as we're in? Do you see any kind of change in what people are complaining about? Because I find in my own practice that people who might have come in talking about real, you know, kind of long-term, in-depth problems are really almost talking more about survival issues. And
you're talking relative to the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody – you know, is, first of all, my practice has changed because a lot of people are now cutting back a bit because, mm-hmm. you know, we are a bit of a luxury in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, everybody's coming in and talking about the fact that things are tight or they're scared or, you know, things like that. You know, perhaps a different perspective on life, realizing what's important in life and what's not important in life.
Mm.
So I think that everything, you know, has an effect. And of course, you know, also just the wars, and a lot of people recently have also just been very excited about the inauguration. So I think, you know, people always are reacting to what's going on historically.
It does change the flavor and nature, I think, of therapy, at least in my office, because people are just so much more disturbed and panicked about, you know, real life issues that they don't have the time to kind of explore, you know, the more long term, dynamic kind of issues that they were talking about before. And I can't get them past what's freaking them out in the immediacy, so to speak.
Well, you know, when people talk to me about that, what I try to do is to bring them back again and say, look, you know, there isn't really anything that we can do about that. And what you have to do is realize, again, is your reaction to it. You know, because that's my constant mm-hmm. way of looking at my own life. Mm-hmm. And what I try to bring to my clients, life is what it is. And it's always about how are you going to choose to respond to it. You know, there is no absolute reality in life. There are some people who could have $1 million in the bank and say that they have nothing, and there are other people who feel that they've got $1,000 in the bank and think that they're the wealthiest people in the world. Hmm. You know, the stock market is what the stock market is, and we have to make of it what we can. So that's the way I'm trying to live my life. You know, I'm as affected as everybody else is, mm-hmm. and that's what I try to bring to them. But it is, and if we focus on what's scary, all that's going to do is make us more scared.
Right, and I think that's really what my emphasis is with these people, is that, you know, control what you can control. And,
right.
and of course, there's an illusion out there that we can control more than we can. But yeah. you're right when you said earlier that what we can control is ourselves.
Right.
And so that's what I really teach people. Control yourself. Understand mm-hmm. yourself. Be aware of how you interpret and therefore respond to people in situations. And then when you can control yourself, you know, you've literally changed the situation anyway.
Absolutely.
So
I couldn't agree with you further.
So what happens is when you change the immediate situation, you have impacted the world around you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a professor, Harold Eucher. I don't know if you know who he was.
Mm-mm.
And so he had a quote that I use all the time, which I think is just brilliant. And I know it wasn't his, but I attribute it to Harold Eucher. So I call it a Eucherism. And the statement is, the best predictor of future behavior is immediate past behavior under the same circumstances.
Mm.
And I use that all the time with my patients so that, you know, because I could say to them, look, if in fact Tuesday you said X and your wife said Y and the outcome was a battle, then I would predict if you argue the same way on Wednesday and you say X and she says Y, I uh-huh. can predict with pretty good accuracy there's going to be a battle. Now, mm-hmm. if in fact you say X and your wife says A, I really can't predict anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so all we have to do is change one variable and we might change the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And once you kind of put it in that perspective, they go, oh, you mean I, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have to both change or we don't have to do this? No, I just need to change one piece and, mm-hmm. and the outcome might be significantly better.
You know, Howie, you and I really, even though we're coming from different perspectives, we're saying the same thing, because on one of my websites, choicerelationships.com, my entire theory of relationships, because that's really the other specialty that I have, is about action equals reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people is that everybody has the power to change their relationship. You don't have to wait for the other person.
Right.
Because if you do something different, then the other person's going to react to you.
Exactly.
And really, you know, this really even ties into the other book, because again, everybody has to know that they really control their own destiny. They control what goes on around them. And, you know, everybody, when they're involved in relationships, is always thinking about, oh, well, you know, this other person didn't do this, and I'm so upset about that because, mm-hmm. you know, they let me down. But it's really within ourselves.
Right.
So as soon as we start to change the way we act, then everything around us starts to change, and we just have to step up to the plate, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. That's why talk therapy alone doesn't work unless you make the behavior changes, unless you change your life, unless you take control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, yes, it's interesting to me that we talk about different philosophical orientations, but you're right that when you really come down to the core, really good therapy is good therapy, and
yes,
using the same techniques, and we might couch it in different terms, or we might use different labels. But I think that in reality, when you're doing a decent, good job with patients, it's because you're using the skills and tools that work.
Oh, I think absolutely. I really do agree with you. Absolutely. So.
Terrific. Karen, I have to tell you, we're out of time, unfortunately.
Did that go fast.
Yes, it does. And when you're having fun, it goes fast. So I just want to remind the audience that I've been talking to Karen Sherman, and she has two websites that you might want to take a look at. One is www.choicerelationships.com, and the other one is www.drkarensherman.com. And again, I want to thank you again, and I hope this was fun, and I hope
it was, and I really appreciate being with you, Howie.
Thanks a lot, Karen, and I hope the audience really appreciates the information, and I hope that if they need you, they can find you by going to your websites and getting your books. So until next time, this is Dr. Howard Gurr for The Shrink Is In. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.